Good morning. This is Gary Vitter. This is our Awakened Bible Prophecy Update for the week. Today is Wednesday, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, 2022. And the name of our update today is Antichrist's Handbook, the Manual for the Global Cabal. Today's prophecy update is going to blow you away. The information behind what I'm going to discuss did that to me. What I'm going to talk about is one of the most misunderstood documents in the world. Its source is metaphorically direct from Satan's hand. Since the very beginning, when the serpent tempted Eve in the garden and God uttered the curse upon him, those words have affected the course of spiritual and human affairs from then until this very time. And it will continue to do so until Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation. Genesis 3:15 says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. In this verse, God declares that from that point forward, there would be a spiritual war between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The battle spot would affect all mankind and involve the entire rebellious host in the spiritual realm. It would be physical in the flesh of men, and of such spiritual significance that the souls of mankind for all eternity would be impacted. In the end, the ultimate seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would prevail over Satan and all his minions, both among the children of men and of those fallen in the heavenlies. This conflict has taken many forms, and Scripture gives us a solid picture of the many schemes of Satan and their results. He sees attacks on the generations of men who will eventually bring forth Christ. In these confrontations, Satan has focused much of his vitriol on the Jews and the nation of Israel. There's more of that to come in these last days, but the Church of Jesus Christ has also been a major target, of course. What I'm going to discuss has negatively impacted both Jews and Christians. It has increased anti-Semitism and sheer hatred for the Jewish people. It has caused both Christians and the secular world to construct what are truly conspiracy theories against God's chosen people. Because of the deceit believed by Christians caused by this document and how they have treated Jews, it has tainted the hearts of Jews against Christianity. It has also served to rile hatred among Arab nations towards Israel. In other words, this noxious document has been a primary source responsible for the world's disdain for the Jews. It points a quivering finger at Jews and appears to make them the cause of all the ills of the world. But that's all a sham. This is the work of Satan, simply continuing his ages-old effort to thwart God and his purposes. What is this document? Some of you may have guessed by now. It's the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. As I said, it's not at all what's been portrayed. A great deception has been brought about in this document. By the time we finish today, you'll understand that and have a completely different perspective. You'll probably also have a new appreciation for the wiles of Satan and his devious machinations. And you'll realize why this document is an end times blueprint. Above all this, you'll exalt that God is on the throne and sovereign, that nothing Satan and his minions can ultimately prevent God's purposes from prevailing in this world. So our scripture today, Psalm 2, just verses 1 through 3. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. All right. So Antichrist's Handbook, the Manual for the Global Cabal. So let me preface my message one more time by saying that this document, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, was not written by Jews and has nothing to do with them as God's chosen people. Hear me on this. The protocols of the learned elders of Zion was created as a red herring. And what is a red herring? Well, here's how Wikipedia describes it. A red herring is something that misleads or distracts from a relevant or important question. It may be either a logical fallacy or a literary device that leads readers or audiences toward a false conclusion. And that's exactly right. This document has led people to a false conclusion, namely that the Jews, with their devious schemes, are the most evil people in the world. It has also redirected God's purpose for them to be a blessing to the rest of the world, instead to be seen as a curse. Some of you may have seen the documentary series titled Fall of the Cabal, created several years ago by Janet Hasselblad. In those videos, she exposed the dark underbelly of the global elites in Washington, D.C., Hollywood, and elsewhere, and their direct link to sexual trafficking, discussing the Pizzagate scandal, and much more. And by the way, that is not a conspiracy theory. Janet and her research partner, Cynthia Coder, followed that up with a documentary series that is, I think it's just finished actually, called The Sequel to the Fall of the Cabal. Last I looked, it was 25 parts. When I tell you that the amount of effort they expended in their research is enormous, that description falls far short of the fact. They've literally worked on this research for years. Among the subjects they cover in their documentary work is this document we're discussing today, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. What they make clear, which I am echoing, is that this document has made the Jewish people a scapegoat, redirecting the truth through deceit. For our purposes today, I'm using Janet and Cynthia's work as the basis for what I convey, and as a taking off point for relating all this to our current end times circumstances. These women are not saved, yet they have determined, just as we who are Bible reading and believing Christians, that Babylon has been and is the major source of wickedness throughout history, with its sorceries and evil influence, which has turned people away from the God of the Bible. Janet traces the origin of the peoples, and I'll just use Janet rather than Janet and Cynthia here, just for ease of communicator. So Janet traces the origin of the peoples behind the protocols to ancient Sumer, the Sumerians, right? And guess what? When you overlay a map of Sumer and a map of Babylon, they are the same location in the Middle East. That area in and around Babylon is the source of all this evil. At some point in history, a portion of these peoples migrated north and west. They settled in what became known as Khazaria in Central Europe. That area was apparently a crossroads of sorts, and they encountered religious pressure. Now, I'm going to greatly simplify this for the sake of time. In order not to be swept away into oblivion through the pressure from regional empires, these Sumerian / Babylonians were given a choice of religions they could follow. They could adopt Christianity, really Catholicism, from the West, Islam from the East, or Judaism from the South. And for the sake of survival, they took on the persona of Jews. These people became known as the Ashkenazi Jews. And some of them may have been some sincere converts. I don't want to discount that whatsoever. But a segment of them simply used the trappings of the Jewish religion to subsequently pursue their devious purposes. To this day, they are called the Khazarian Mafia. Another cunning group also arose during this period, namely the Catholic Jesuits. They ended up joining forces with this group of faux Jews. And this became the basis for the Illuminati and the various secret societies, among them the Freemasons. Since there was nothing truly godly about this secretive group, they were a perfect tool for Satan and his schemes. What was exceptionally convenient for him was the Jewish aspect that he could exploit, which is what he did. And the protocols were partially, if not wholly written, well before the supposed date of 1906. In fact, the basis for the document likely dates at least back into the 1600s or 1700s, at least. And in that time period, we also see the rise of the Rothschilds, supposed Jews coming out of this Babylonian heritage. Is it any wonder the Rothschilds have always been at the heart and center of every conspiracy theory, integral to all these secretive societies and behind the move toward a one-world government? Now, what I'm going to do from here is to reduce the protocols into a series of primary topics and to read the actual text from the document as it supports these subjects. Although for readability's sake, I've slightly altered several sentences, but I have not altered at all the meaning of the sentences, just a couple places just to make it more readable. There are 24 protocols, but I'm condensing what I convey to 11 major bullet points. I will reference the protocol number and the corresponding paragraph of that protocol in what I read. Also, one important point, in the deceit of this document, it refers from a supposed Jewish perspective to the Goyim, that is, the Gentiles. Do not be fooled. This terminology is used to paint the Jews as dark, conniving creatures. What is meant by the Goyim in the protocols is really the common man. That is, anyone who is not a part of the elitist cabal. When you see that. Whenever you hear the term Goyim, just know that it applies to you and me and all of our true Jewish friends. If you'd like, you can see my extended notes on my website blog, as well as the actual protocols document itself. So just go to my website, barryritter.com, into the blog in the name of this article, Antichrist Handbook, and you can look at those documents. Well, what I'll also do is comment along the way to illustrate how relevant the protocols are for today as truly Antichrist's handbook and as the manual for the global cabal. When you hear what the writers themselves of the protocols say, you'll understand what I mean when I tell you that God's chosen people did not create these. Rather, they came from the depths of Babylonian thought and the pit of hell. Remember, I'm quoting from the protocols themselves, their very words. So here we go. So first topic, disdain for the common man. And again, the way I'll do this is I'll just list the protocol and its paragraph. So protocol 11, paragraph 4. And this is directly from that. The Goyim are a flock of sheep, and we are their wolves. 3:7. We are interested in killing the Goyim. Our power is in the chronic shortness of food and physical weakness of the worker, because, by all that this implies, he is made the slave of our will. 3:8. By want and envy and hatred, we shall move the mobs, and with their hands, we shall wipe out all those who hinder us on our way. 1:21. It is only with a despotic ruler that plans can be elaborated extensively and clearly. A satisfactory form of government for any country is one that concentrates in the hands of one responsible person. Without an absolute despotism, there can be no existence for civilization. The mob is savage and displays its savagery at every opportunity. The moment the mob seizes freedom in its hands, it quickly turns to anarchy, which in itself is the highest degree of savagery. So here's my comment on this section. You can begin to see from these paragraphs that dictatorial rule is their goal, and they will use any system of oppression to accomplish it. Food is an instrument of their control. Shortage of it makes people desperate and subject to the cabal. Mobs are their tool. They will manipulate them to their will. All right, point number two, national leaders are puppets. Protocol 10, paragraph 10. Liberalism produced constitutional states, and a constitution is nothing but a school of discords. We replaced the ruler of the republics by a caricature of a government, by a president, taken from the mob, from the midst of our puppet creatures, our slaves. 10:13, we shall arrange elections in favor of such presidents as have in their past some dark, undiscovered secret. Then they will be trustworthy agents for the accomplishment of our plans out of fear of revelations that would remove their power, privileges of office, advantages, and honor. We shall take the right to propose new or make changes in existing laws as the president is simply a puppet in our hands. My comment, they love the concept of democracy because they see that as the rule of majority by the mob. They install presidents, prime ministers, and other leaders who do their bidding for fear of losing their exalted positions. Laws are instituted to accomplish the purposes of the cabal. Just think about the World Economic Forum's young global leaders, how they are placed in positions of power and do everything that they are told to do in lockstep. All right, point number three, the cabal uses liberals and Masons for its purposes. Protocol 13, paragraph 4. The part played by the liberals, utopian dreamers, will be finally played out when our government is acknowledged. Till such time, they will continue to do us good service. Therefore, we shall continue to direct their minds to all sorts of vain conceptions of fantastic theories, new and apparently progressive. For have we not, with complete success turned the brainless heads of the Goyim with progress, till there is not among the Goyim one mind able to perceive that under this word lies a departure from truth in all cases. 15:4, until we come into our kingdom, we shall create and multiply free Masonic lodges in all the countries of the world, absorb into them all who may become or who are prominent in public activity. For these lodges, we shall find our principal intelligence office and means of influence. All these lodges we shall bring together under one central administration, known to us alone and to all others, absolutely unknown, which will be composed of our learned elders. The most secret political plots will be known to us and fall under our guiding hands on the very day of their conception. Among the members of these lodges will be almost all the agents of international and national police, since their service is for us irreplaceable to us, as they have their own measures with the insubordinate. 15:5. The class of people who most willingly enter into secret societies are those who live by their wits, careerists, and in general, people, mostly light-minded, with whom we shall have no difficulty in dealing and in using. But if there should arise in its midst a plot, then at the head of that plot will be no other than one of our most trusted servants. 15:9. Death is the inevitable end for all. It is better to bring that end nearer to those who hinder our affairs than to ourselves. We execute Masons in such wise that none can save the brotherhood, that none save the brotherhood can ever have a suspicion of it. Not even the victims themselves of our death sentence. They all die when required as if from a normal kind of illness. Knowing this, even the Brotherhood, in its turn, dare not protest. By such methods, we have plucked out of the midst of Masonry the very root of protest against our disposition. My comment here. The cabal plays on the naivete of liberals and utopians because they are brainless. They lack the capacity for critical thinking. Think of how so many people have been taken in with the green agenda, whether for recycling or the foolish notion that CO2 is harmful to the environment, rather than as the most basic source of food for green living planets. Masonic lodges are used to infiltrate all levels of society, including the police. Think about how the FBI, CIA, IRS, and many police forces around the country have become politicized. The cabal is intimately associated with plots and conspiracies in society. Dissent among Masons is not permitted. Anyone who disagrees with the cabal in their secret societies will be executed when necessary, and the death will look like natural causes. I wonder how many of the associates of the Clintons were in this situation. Point number four, the media is their tool under their control. Article 2, paragraph 5. Through the press, we have gained the power to influence while remaining ourselves in the shade. 12.4. Not a single announcement will reach the public without our control. All news items are received by a few agencies. These agencies will then be already entirely ours and will give publicity only to what we dictate to them. So my comment, the media is the tool by which the cabal exercises the power to influence the masses. News items are what they want the public to hear, with all agencies reporting the same items. Think about the montages you've seen of talking heads in the media. Every single one repeating exactly the same words of a news story. Item number 5, distraction is a means of control. Protocol 6, paragraph 7. We shall develop among the Goyim a greedy demand for luxury. We shall raise the rate of wages, which, however, will not bring any advantage to the workers. For, at the same time, we will produce a rise in prices of the first necessities of life, fully undermining the sources of production. 13.3. We shall distract the Goyim. Remember, the Goyim is the common man. With amusements, games, pastimes, passions, and people's policies. Through the press, we shall propose competitions in art and in sport of all kinds. These interests will finally distract their minds. So my comment, through the media and the use of advertising and commercials, the cabal will create a strong desire for luxury items and other things people cannot afford. They will increase basic minimum wages so that workers think this pay increase will solve their financial problems. However, they will raise the cost of living through inflation, which will negate and cancel out any potential gain. Think of how America abandoned the gold standard and also created the Federal Reserve System to create monetary policy, fiat currency. Think about the unbridled spending by Congress and the wanton printing of money to cover our debts, making the financial system less secure and subject to hyperinflation. Item number 6, their people have infiltrated all levels of society. Article 9, paragraph 9. We have got our hands into the administration of the law, into the conduct of elections, into the press, into liberty of the person, but principally into education and training as being the cornerstones of a free existence. 2:2, the administrators whom we shall choose from among the public with strict regard to their capacity for obedience will not be persons trained in the arts of government and will therefore easily become pawns in our game in the hands of men of learning and genius who will be their advisors, specialists, bred and reared from early childhood to rule the affairs of the whole world. 8:2, we shall surround our government with a whole world of economists. Around us again will be a whole constellation of bankers, industrialists, and capitalists, and the main thing, millionaires. You could say now billionaires, right? Because in substance, everything will be settled by the question of figures. 13:6. Who will ever suspect then that all these people were stage managed by us according to a political plan which no one has so much as guessed at in the course of many centuries? My comment. The cabal has groomed its people from a very early age to infiltrate government, schools, and seminaries in order to be advisors and counselors to people in power. Money is everything, and control of the financial realm is their power. Worldly events happen for their plans to accomplish their objectives, whether it be wars, recessions, or plagues. Think about how all powerful rulers have a trusted advisor. Rasputin, Tsar Nicholas in Russia. Valerie Jarrett to Barack Obama. Huma Abedin to Hillary Clinton. They all have one, and the odds are that such people have a lifetime of preparation for their role. Item number 7, Plan B. Protocol 9, paragraph 13. You may say that the Goyim will rise up against us, arms in hand, if they guess what is going on before the time comes. But in the West, we have against this a maneuver of such appalling terror that the very stoutest hearts quail. The undergrounds, metropolitans, those subterranean corridors which, before the time comes, will be driven under all the capitals and from whence those capitals will be blown into the air with all their organizations and archives. My comment, in the event of major resistance, they have booby-trapped the underground transport and sewage systems of major cities. Consider what would happen in the event of a rebellion by the gun-owning right in America. Many think that because we have firearms, we can successfully resist the tyranny when it finally comes down to it. This protocol argues against this possibility. Item number 8, chaos is the goal. Protocol 3, paragraph 3. We have stirred up every form of enterprise. We have armed all parties. We have set up authority as a target for every ambition. Of states, we have made gladiatorial arenas where a lot of confused issues contend. A little more, and disorders and bankruptcy will be universal. 3:11. Hatred will be further magnified by the effects of economic crises, which will stop dealing on the stock exchanges and bring industry to a standstill. There will be universal economic crises whereby we shall throw upon the streets whole mobs of workers simultaneously in all the countries of Europe. These mobs will rush delightedly to shed the blood of those whom, in the simplicity of their ignorance, they have envied from their cradles, and whose property they will then be able to loot. 3:14. Again, this is from the protocols. Remember the French Revolution? The secrets of its preparations are well known to us, for it was wholly the work of our hands. My comment, the cabal stirs up confusion and arms those they've corrupted with destructive ambitions. When economic crisis comes, they will release the mobs to do their bidding. Think Antifa and BLM. They remind us that they were behind the discontents and the horrors of the French Revolution. So it will be for all future uprisings. Item number 9, accomplishing their goals takes time and requires a period of transition. Remember, they play the long game. Protocol 23, paragraph 1, in order that the people may be accustomed to obedience, it is necessary to give lessons of humility and therefore to reduce the production of articles of luxury. This means that we will lay a mine under the private capital of manufacturing. The result will be that people will be bound more closely to the existing order and consequently with the firmness of authority. 5.11. In the resulting chaos, people will fail to understand one another. This will discourage any kind of personal initiative which might in any degree hinder our affair. There is nothing more dangerous than personal initiative. If it has genius behind it, such initiative can do more harm to us than can be done by millions of people among whom we have sown discord. We must so wear down the Goyim that whenever they come upon a matter requiring initiative, they may drop their hands in despairing impotence. We shall so wear down all the peoples that they will be compelled to offer us international power that will enable us, without any violence, to gradually absorb all the state forces of the world and to form a super government. In place of the rulers of today, we shall set up a super government administration. Its hands will reach out in all directions, and its organization will be of such colossal dimensions that it cannot fail to subdue all the nations of the world. 10, Protocol 10, paragraphs 18 and 4. The recognition of our despotism will come when the peoples, utterly weary by the irregularities and incompetence of the rulers, will clamor and cry out, "Away with them and give us one king over all the earth, who will unite us and annihilate the causes of our disorders, who will give us peace and quiet, which we cannot find under our rulers and administrators." When we have accomplished our coup d'etat, then will the mob exalt us and bear us up in their hands in a unanimous triumph of hopes and expectations. Voting, which we have made the instrument, which will set us on the throne of the world, will then have served its purposes and will play its part for the last time. My comment: scarcity is required to produce humility and need among the masses. Personal initiative must be eliminated because a strong, charismatic leader of a resistance could ruin everything. The cabal accomplishes their purposes through the education system that they control and teaches what they determine. Notice that they echo what the Bible says concerning the plea for peace and security. They will move society and the thinking of the masses toward a one-world government. At that point, freedom and even the illusion of voting to make a difference will be eliminated. Notice how they say that the world will clamor for a leader to fix all its ills. Some of you may recall hearing what Paul Henry Spock, former Prime Minister of Belgium and one of the original founders of the EU, the European Union, said in 1949, quote, "We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass in which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him." Well, that day is coming soon. Item number 10, one world rule will eliminate all freedoms. Article 5, paragraph 1. We shall create an intensified centralization of government in order to grip in our hands all the forces of the community. We shall regulate all the actions of the political life of our subjects by new laws. These laws will withdraw one by one all the indulgences and liberties of the Goyim, and our kingdom will be distinguished by a despotism of such magnificent proportions that we can wipe out any Goyim who oppose us by deed or word. 320. The word freedom brings out the communities of men to fight against every kind of force, against every kind of authority, even against God and the laws of nature. For this reason, when we come into our kingdom, we shall have to erase this word, freedom, from the vocabulary of life, as implying a principle of brute force, which turns mobs into bloodthirsty beasts. 12.2. Freedom is the right to do that which the law allows. All freedom will thus be in our hands. 17.7. Our kingdom will be a representation of the Hindu divinity Vishnu with its many hands. We shall see everything without the aid of official police. In our programs, one third of our subjects will keep the rest under observation from a sense of duty on the principle of volunteer service to the state. It will then be no disgrace to be a spy and informer, but a merit. 15.1. When we at last definitely come into our kingdom by the aid of coup d'etat, prepared everywhere for one and the same day, we shall make it our task to see that against us such things as plots shall no longer exist. With this purpose, we shall slay without mercy all who take arms to oppose our coming into our kingdom. Every kind of new institution of anything like a secret society will be punished with death. Those now in existence are known to us, serve us, and have served us. But we shall disband them and send them into exile to continents far removed from Europe. In this way, we shall deal with those Masons who know too much. Those we may spare will be kept in constant fear of exile from the center of our rule. 9.3. Our super government will be a dictatorship. We shall execute judgment and sentence. We shall slay and we shall spare. We rule by force of will, and the weapons in our hands are limitless ambitions, burning greediness, merciless vengeance, hatreds, and malice. 15.2. Resolutions of our government will be final, without appeal. 15.10. The prestige of the law has been exploded by the liberal interpretations. Judges decide as we dictate to them. Even senators in the higher administration accept our counsels. 15.12. When comes the time of our overt rule, all our laws will be brief, plain, stable, and without any kind of interpretations, so that anyone will be in a position to know them perfectly. The main feature is submission to orders, and this principle will be carried to a grandiose height. 16.1. We will educate universities in a new direction. They will be wholly dependent upon the government. 16.4. We shall replace the study of ancient history with the study of the program of the future. We shall erase from the memory of men all facts of previous centuries which are undesirable to us, and leave only those which depict all the errors of the government to the Goyim. 4.3. It is indispensable for us to undermine all faith, to tear out of the mind of the Goyim the very principle of the Godhead and the Spirit, and to put in its place arithmetical calculations and material needs. 14.1. When we come into our kingdom, it will be undesirable for us that there should exist any other religion than ours of the one God with whom our destiny is bound up by our position as the chosen. We must therefore sweep away all other forms of belief. Our preaching of the religion of Moses has brought all the peoples of the world into subjection to us. We shall implant such an abhorrence of democratic government that the peoples will prefer tranquility in a state of serfdom to those rights of vaunted freedom. They will prefer to suffer anything under us rather than run the risk of enduring again all the agitations and miseries they have gone through. 14:4. Our philosophers will discuss all the shortcomings of the various beliefs of the Goyim, but no one will ever bring under discussion our faith from its true point of view, since this will be fully learned by none save ours who will never dare to betray its secrets. 13:5. We have been leading the peoples from one disenchantment to another, so that in the end, they should turn also from us in favor of that king despot whom we are preparing for the world. Comment. Their despotism, their tyranny, will rule throughout the world. Think about what Orwell said in his book, 1984. Slavery is freedom. Freedom is defined by them. A police state with constant surveillance is a given. We know this is true because of the example of China and how we are emulating it. Think about the surveillance cameras inside and outside all public places. Think about Alexa and Siri in your home. Think about your smartphones and how they are even now tracking facial recognition along with your eye movements, let alone your location. Rebellion is not allowed. Is Christianity a secret society from their perspective? I think so. Anyone attempting a contrary view to theirs will be killed. Their rulers will have unlimited authority. Everyone not in their elite club will be at the mercy of their judges and the rulings they make. Everyone will be submissive to their orders. History will be rewritten so that no one can learn from the past. Think about Orwell again and the memory hole, which discarded all things in the past that didn't meet with the approval of Big Brother. Think about how history has been rewritten recently with the 1619 Project pushed into the public government schools. Religious liberty will be abolished as they create their one world religion. Religious belief will be what they say it should be. At the same time, the beliefs of the cabal can never be questioned. All the cabal is doing is to prepare the way for their coming king. And then finally, our 11th point, Antichrist, ruler of the world. Protocol 23, paragraph 4. This chosen one of God is chosen from above to demolish the senseless forces moved by instinct and not reason, by brutishness and humanness. These forces now triumph in manifestations of robbery, every kind of violence, under the mask of principles of freedom and rights. They have overthrown all forms of social order to erect on the ruins the throne of the King of the Jews. But their part will be played out the moment he enters into his kingdom. Then it will be necessary to sweep them away from his path. 15:4. When the king of Israel sets up his sacred head, the crown offered him by Europe, he will become patriarch of the world. 17:4. The king will be the real pope of the universe, the patriarch of the international church. My comment, the cabal believes its king is divinely chosen. Their God is obviously not the God of the Bible. He will crush all in his path using every kind of violence. because of its ultimate power, control, and authority, all the world will obey his commands. Of course, this is the Antichrist. Rather than divinely chosen by God, he has been appointed by Satan. So, summary. By now you should understand that this document, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which has long been used to smear the Jews, is in fact the guiding light for the ruling elites to prepare the world for their tyrannical king, the man with a plan whom we know as the son of perdition, Antichrist. Everything that we see today coalescing around the concept of total control leading to their one world government and one world religion has been planned for hundreds of years among men, much longer than that within the fallen spiritual realm. The secretive cabal, with its vast financial resources, has turned the direction of the world to their purposes. They have caused wars, rulers to rise and fall, and monetary systems to be created and destroyed. They've put in place the mechanisms to control the weather through geoengineering and the means to transform humanity via transhumanism into man 2.0, in which they determine what that creature looks like. I believe the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion is the basis for world systems like Marxism, socialism, communism, fascism, and every kind of despotic rule known to man. Look at the arrogance displayed in this document. Can you just hear the echoes of Satan from Ezekiel 28, verses 1 and 2? In the pride of your heart, you say, I am a god. I sit on the throne of a god in the heart of the seas. How about Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14? You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly and on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the top of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. The Protocols are a document of unbridled pride and absolute self-deceit. The cabal believes that its God, Lucifer, is greater than the Holy One of Israel. That God has promoted this document to poke a stick in the eye of the God of the Bible by casting his chosen people in the worst possible light, namely as the arrogant chosen to rule the world. But as Bible-believing, scripture-reading Christ followers, we know that all the plans of Satan and his minions in the cabal will come to nothing. It is through God's permissive will that all these strategies and campaigns have been put into play through unbelieving, Christ-rejecting men who have chosen to instead follow the way of the flesh and the dictates of one who masquerades as all-powerful. But he is not. And all these high towers will be struck down and demolished. The secretive evil schemes that have festered since the Tower of Babel, with the singular desire of reaching to the heavens and controlling God himself, will be thwarted at simply a word from the Lord when he returns in his glory at the end of the tribulation. Having seen what we've seen to date and having experienced the sins and depravities of these who hate God, can you imagine how gratifying it will be when God judges in his wrath these who have tried to displace him? Not that we take any pleasure in their destruction, but knowing that our God is righteous and judges equitably is comforting. And that time is coming soon. It won't be long before the Lord appears in the clouds for those of us who love him and will remove us from the worst excesses of this world resulting from the hubris of Satan and the people who follow him. The cabal will indeed fall. It will have its day, as will Satan, for a short time. Then it'll all come apart for them as God shows his absolute might. Our task is to wait and watch eagerly and to do all that God has called each of us to do in the meantime. Keep the faith. Don't let the doubters and the deniers take it from you. The Lord will redeem us at his chosen time and vindicate us we who have faithfully believed.